Hi there, and welcome to this episode of A Couple Takes on MS. Hi, I'm Dan Digman.
And hi, it's me, Jennifer Digman.
And we are A Couple Takes on MS. I'm walking.
I'm rolling.
But together, we're moving forward. And as weird as it sounds, today we are moving forward with the title of MS Morning Sickness. And it's morning, M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G. Play on words for people like the word nerd, such as me. But it is really just talking about, like, I don't want to say the stages of grieving and living with multiple sclerosis. And this is just a very real look at things in life in dealing with the challenges of MS every day. But first, we will talk about that which triggered this whole thing. And it was just an exciting moment, exciting weekend, exciting event of the Walk MS event down in Frankenmuth. Jennifer.
I think that that's kind of how it started when we were playing on words, which you and I both do. I married a word nerd, and conversely, I have become a word nerd.
Welcome to the club.
But it was an early morning that the event started in Frankenmuth. We needed to be there, and it's ironic that you and I are both pretty much at our best first thing in the morning, but I don't know any of you out there, if you're listening, mornings can be tough when you're living with a chronic illness, especially with MS. You know, you spend 6 or 8 hours sleeping where you don't have baklevin. So you get a little rigid and a little sore and stiff overnight. So to get up and start the Walk MS event, it was a little challenging.
But we were on fire though, love. I mean, we got there. We were so on time to set up the table for the Team Monsters. And it was just an amazing day.
It was amazing, but it was, you know. It took a lot to get started. And then again, to those of us in the community, we understand you need some caffeine. You need a little coffee to get your day going. But you're going to be walking. And you're going to be in an event. And you don't know about the accessible bathrooms. And so you limit your coffee. And so you spend the morning. You get pumped up because you see your friends that you haven't seen in a while. And the energy of the National MS Society put together with the walk event. But it was a little pokey in the morning. And so we were talking about morning, and then that led into morning. And here we are.
And it's really, but yeah, the event was great. I mean, we featured a couple monsters who are on our team. I mean, if you saw the interview that Maximus Miedema did with us, and we'll have links to that episode on our liner notes, as well as the episode where we interviewed Heather Schoen, physical therapist, talking about the benefits of exercise and physical therapy when you're living with multiple sclerosis, also a team monster. And we had a great turnout for the event in its entirety, and then also for Team Monsters. It was like epic. Total members on the team were incredible because of there were a lot of physical therapy students on the team.
Yes, the PT students from Central Michigan University were well represented, and they really joined us and supported us, and it was just so much fun. And two of the ladies were sporting beautiful engagement rings. It had been a few weeks that I'd seen one, and then one member of the team, it had been like a year. So that was super exciting, and it was a wonderful morning and total revitalized and got us kickstarted. So it was very, very fun, and I don't at all want to act like it wasn't. It was early. but it was good. And just, you know, we were supported by a bunch of people, and the sun never shines in Frankenmuth, but I can't say that anymore because we had beautiful weather.
I was going to say 2 years running, dude.
2 years running. And it was just a really good event, and we raised money, we raised awareness, took over the city of Frankenmuth with orange and people walking, and it was good. It was fun. We went to dinner that night, and somebody behind us in line, because the restaurants were kind of busy, they were talking about a walk going on that day, and there was orange t-shirts everywhere, and I wanted to turn around and say, hey, that was our walk. Good job, you know, noticing. But I didn't want to be that guy and just like invade someone's conversation. Not too far from doing that, but I didn't. So anywho, sorry.
I missed that comment from the person behind us in line at the restaurant.
Probably because you were paying attention to the people we were with, but I was paying attention.
You have superstar hearing, though.
Take away my legs and make my ears good.
Well, and this is where really it was sparked with this conversation that we're talking about. And it was, the walk was incredible, but it's almost like each year we both think about, you comment on, and I think about, just in the sense that we have Walk MS and the MS walk, and just then that, you know, that you can't, that you haven't been able to walk in 20 some years. And then it was to which you've said afterwards, there was a certain sign at the restaurant where we were that really tripped you off at the reality of not being able to walk. It made me feel old, but it spoke to you differently.
To legally drink, you have to be born 21 years ago. And that would be 2002. And I looked at that and it took me back a little. Granted, we were at the walk and PT Heather Schoen was there at the walk, and she was my physical therapist when I could still walk. And my very first walk right after my diagnosis, Heather has always been there. And she made a comment that it was 25 years ago that I was diagnosed. So that got me a little melancholy, but it was a great walk. Then I go to the restaurant, I see 21 years ago to be legal to drink. And I was like, holy crap, the last time I walked was 21 years ago. It was May, like this time of year, 21 years ago. And in fact, one of my last memories of walking, I was with Heather. We went to see a musical and I was using my walker and it was really difficult. And after that, I can't really remember walking. So I see this sign about, you know, having to be legal to drink, and it got me. I was already in kind of a somber mood, and then to see that, I was just like, margarita flight, please. And that's not a healthy way to handle it, but it got me through.
And those are things, and that's just stuff that we don't, you know, do we talk about often enough, or do we just, I think sometimes we just kind of go, I don't want to say by the seat of our pants, but it's just like, what do I need to get done today? And sometimes it's like, we don't ever really stop to think or talk about those sorts of things that, you know, this is, we can be happy-go-lucky and optimistic and everything, but it's like, at the core, are we both still mourning? And I would say, yeah, 20 some years later, yeah, I am. I mean, I'm not mourning about things I've lost. It's just really just unmatched potential, or unmet potential, I guess would be the word.
And I hear you on that. And there is another blogger, a writer, that you, Dan, you and I both really respect, Julie Stamm, and we can have a link to this article that she wrote about how Walk MS is challenging for her too, because it's just a reminder of everything she lost. And to have that just that grief and that mourning, like you and I are talking about, you have to accept it and you have to respect it. And it's just, you're in like Walk a Mass is a fantastic event and you're surrounded by people. You know, I hadn't seen Jenna in a year. I hadn't seen the PT students in a few weeks. My dear friend Sue, she came up from Flint to walk with us and it was fantastic. You know, my sister-in-law's there, my niece is there. So many good things, but then at the same time, you're like, oh my gosh, I have not walked. I have not walked in 21 years. You know, I was diagnosed 8 days after my 23rd birthday. I stopped walking when I was 27. And that is just, that's tough.
And I get that, and that's the reality. You and I have, you know, just the best of relationships, the best of love stories, everything, whatever you want to say, but it's just the reality. I've never known you to walk.
Mm-mm.
And those are things that you you lose sight of. And well, and there's my segue. I mean, it's just that I haven't seen out of my right eye since I was 11 months old. You know, there was an accident and I lost all sight on the left side or on my right side. And it's just the fact though that I don't know any different. I've never known being able to see out of two eyes ever. So I had to adjust as a kid where you're still learning how to walk. So I've never known any different. And I've always said that it's not like I went blind when I was 16 years old. Or something like that, because I'm just always been used to this. So I can't imagine what it'd be like to lose my sight like that. Then for you at 23, I mean, you've known what it's like to walk. And then just boom. Now, and you just don't. I mean, even though you've had now how long in your life that you haven't had to walk, but I don't think does it ever go away. Just that longing, the wishing.
It doesn't. And I say every year, this will be the year. This will be the year. And I had a dream last night. It was funny. I told you about that this morning. The only way I could walk, but I could walk in my dream, is I had to walk like Barbie doll feet, where I was standing on my tiptoes. And I thought, oh, this is really strange. But if this is what I have to do to walk, I will do it. And now in a, you know, it was a crazy dream about walking on tiptoes. And I think with artificial intelligence and everyone, you know, I worry about, oh no, what's going to happen when computers rule the world and everything. But maybe they'll find some way to figure out how to speckle the myelin on our nervous system. And maybe I can regain that ability to walk. And maybe this will be the summer that I'll get my big old butt in the swimming pool and I'll be able to walk in the water and I'll stop making excuses. So it's just this weekend, I was very comforted by a large supply of margaritas. And then I felt like trash that night. And I was hurting for certain.
You did fine.
But it was, you know, it was just when you're in that moment, you're just like, just, yeah. So
how do you then deal with that every day? I mean, you just had that trigger, or was it like the perfect storm of the early morning with the walk MS, with that and the sign and the recalling back to 25 years ago when you were, you know, your first walk to this, and then 21 years since you've stopped walking. How do you cope with that every day? Or do you just not think about it?
I'm sure you think about it, but you have to go on. If I stay stuck in that doldrums and I drink margaritas all the time to dull the pain, then, you know, your life is not productive. But you have to give yourself that grace, that moment to say, okay, yeah, this stinks and this is yucky. But then I woke up Sunday morning and we celebrated Mother's Day with my sister-in-law.
Yeah, because, sister-in-law and brother-in-law and niece. And it was, I mean, that's always incredible for Dawn and Mike and Elizabeth to come out.
Yeah, so it was just I had that one kind of pity day. But I don't think anyone on the team would really have thought that I was feeling mopey inside. Because life goes on and it is moving forward. But I have to ask you a difficult question, if you don't mind, because I didn't hip you to this.
This is a Jennifer show, but go ahead.
No, but it was the reality. We were walking, you know, I'm rolling, and we're walking with our friends, Nora and John. Mm-hmm. God love them. They're really good monsters.
They are.
And we're walking, and there came a point in time where you had to say, no, this is enough. If I'm going to be able to walk back to where the walk started, I'm going to have to say this is enough. What was that like for you?
I think it's just you know, and not reverting things back to alcohol, right? But I mean, when you're in college, that's where you learn your limits. You know, when it comes to drinking and stuff, you. Or at least for me, I'm not making this like as a college education, this is what you get in college. But I mean, you learn your limits. And I think just living with MS for 20 plus years and stuff, I just knew I wasn't going to be able to make it. And I knew that it had been a while since I had gone to the bathroom, and I didn't want to get stuck out on the middle of the course and have to go to the bathroom and start knocking on the neighbor's door. But you know, those are realities I deal with, that it's like, yeah, I used to run, that I could run, you know, at night I would go out and run, you know, 4 miles, 4.5 miles every night after work. Now it's just like, I struggle to even walk around the neighborhood. And that's, you know, a lot of that's on me, because it's like, I stopped walking. And you know, again, you make excuses. I think that people can see that it's a struggle for me to walk. And so, and that's one of the things that you have to realize, that it's like, sometimes it takes more strength to call it, not call it quits, but to stop, than it is to, you know, to try and push on and then just make it a disaster, you know, to where you stop. And I'm like, that I even walked as far as I did. And it is just like, okay, well, we need to walk back.
And I think that realization, or that acceptance, and not only that, Dan, you walk and you don't want to wear yourself out, but then you always have to think about me, because you are my primary caregiver. Mm-hmm. And I imagine for parents out there who might be listening, you have to leave enough gas in the tank to take care of your kids, to take care of yourself, but most importantly, to take care of your family, to take care of your obligations. You know, if you're working and you want to have enough strength to get through your day. And that's the juggling act that I don't know if gets talked about enough when you're living with MS at the beginning, that you will have to figure out how to juggle, and you will have to learn your energy conservation and the tips and tricks so that you can manage getting through a day, because there's a lot of stuff that gets packed into a day.
Yeah.
And, you know, the walk was fantastic, but that was a perfect example. We needed to have enough energy to go to the walk in the morning and then be with your family and go out to dinner just to be active. So give yourself a break, and if you can't do it today, don't wear yourself out. You know, we did not tire ourselves out. Mm-hmm. so much on Saturday that we couldn't do things on Sunday and Mother's Day. And again, that comes with the longevity of having the disease. And even still, I got myself a little tipsy and I was a little tired Sunday morning, but I wasn't so tired that I couldn't do things.
Well, and that's what you do. And that's where there is that longevity, you and I, with the disease and living with that. And I think then for newly diagnosed and everything, it's like there are these things where you realize that had this happened to me early on in my diagnosis, I would have known that it's like, Dan, you can't keep walking. You can't keep doing this. And so then you have those disasters, if you will, because you do too much. And it's just like knowing what it is. Are you looking out, projecting and seeing exactly everything that's going to happen today if I want to have this be in a day of enjoyment? Pace yourself. And I think that's the one thing that's really hard to do. And the other thing is like knowing when you're pacing yourself, know that you have that control and that it's not the disease telling you to do it. You know, it's like not letting the disease just come out of nowhere and just ruin your day. It's like, okay, no, I have control and it's not the disease and I'm not getting worse. But it is, those are just the things that we have to continue to do. And I mean, on many levels, we're still learning our limits and still pushing ourselves. And that's the big thing, is knowing when you should and shouldn't push yourself, and not because you don't want to turn in too early, but at the same time, you don't want to go too late. And that just comes with, that's just a life lesson. That's, you know, whether you have MS or not.
Yeah. And it's interesting. We were walking into the hotel and you were dragging your feet, your right foot a little bit. And then it was odd, but almost like the little more you had walked, your walking got better and you were picking up your feet. And it's just strange how the human body works. You were maybe focused on something else, or you're walking. Maybe the longer you did it, the stronger it felt. And I'm proud of you today. You were doing your sit to stands, and
I hope Haven hears this.
But you don't give up, you know. And just like me today, I need to exercise and I need to keep going. And I would like to get into a pool this summer. Never-ending bladder issue with standing. If I can get that kind of calm down, I would like to go swimming and just continue. No, I haven't walked in 21 years, but that doesn't mean that I'm going to say at 25 years I haven't walked, because who knows what can happen. And that's maybe for anyone living with a chronic illness, or those of us living with MS, we always have that promise of who knows what's out there. We were diagnosed, there were 3 drugs available to treat the severity and the progression of the disease. Now there's over 26. So science is happening. And, you know, that's why we do the walk. That's at the core of the Walk MS event. It's a fundraiser to help, you know, research.
Fund the research and the programs.
Exactly. And that was good. And Team Monsters did an amazing job. So that was very good.
Yeah, I think that's just where, so when we talk about morning sickness, I mean, it's like, it's a constant battle. And I think we always, like you say, you don't get stuck in that rut. I mean, you be upset, be sad, but it's like, you don't live there. I mean, when we started talking about this, and I'm thinking, it's like, I don't cry about the things I lost. I mean, because then there's so much that, because it can be upsetting, but it's like, I'd rather look at the things I've gained. I mean, you know, all of the friends, everybody at the MS walk, that we are all together, that I would not have had that, and I wouldn't trade any of that. But I do when I get weepy, and I don't ever let you see me do that. I don't let you see me cry. And it's just more so when I'm listening to, you know, we talk about the music and I'm listening to music far too loudly, but there's just times where the songs hit you where I'm just like, there's a lot that I'm doing. There's a lot that's there. And it's just like every day you push yourself, I push myself. And it's just mourning of like, how much longer can I keep this up? How much longer can I continue to be your caregiver, work full time, do my own thing, be pretty much doing from the time we get out of bed in the morning till we go to bed at night, that we just keep doing. And it's just like, I'm grateful for it, but it's like, sometimes you're just like, I'm so tired. You know, that's just... Was that dramatic enough? It's like I whispered there, but it is. It's just like there's just like the emotions, because I don't want to say I hide my emotions, but it's just like, it's more so that there's so much that I have to do, or so much to be excited about and live for. That's almost like, you know, when we talk about pacing ourselves, it's like I'm just relentless and I don't let up. And you've seen that. And so it's just like, how much longer will I have this fortune to be able to do what I'm doing?
I would like to, maybe it's Pollyanna. I would just like to think, don't think about that. Just, you know, you've taught me that, Dan, that just push forward, just put your head down, stick your head down and go.
Absolutely.
And if we don't think about how much longer can I do this, and we just do it, and it's hard, and I don't think it's fair, because I know you're caregiving for me, but you also have to take care of yourself. So I guess, I don't know.
I say this just in terms of the grieving. And maybe it's not just grieving. It's just the emotions that get the best of you, where you just like, where you actually, you stop and you think. It's like when you put on paper, if you're applying for a new job or something, you actually start putting down, like when I had filled out a vita of everything that, you know, in terms of all of the writing we have done over the last, you know, 15 years, it's like, God, that's a lot. And it's just like, not until you put it in front of yourself and you actually think about it, does it overwhelm you. And so then it's just like, for this, when those emotions hit, where you're just thinking, there's a lot going on. And it's just like, how do you keep it straight? And, you know, how do I find the energy? And then you're just like, grateful that you've had that energy. And I guess I don't like weep, because I don't know how much longer I'll be able to keep it up, but it's just like, I just, sometimes you just want to be, stop, you know, you just want to be able to stop and give yourself the permission to stop. And I think that's another thing that just comes with age and length of living with the disease, is you know when you just have to stop.
And me being your wife, and I think this goes for any spouses listening, spouses or parents, partners, you have to give your partner that grace. I have to give you that moment. And while it makes me a little nervous and a little uncomfortable, you need to grieve, and you need to worry, and you need to think about yourself. And it's not just the Jennifer story. It's the two of us. And so I appreciate you didn't call me on it, but in my mind, I called myself on it. Like, you're going through a lot of stuff, and you need to verbalize that. And together, we're stronger, and we'll get through it together. So I think that this is...
Has this been a breakthrough, Jennifer?
Well, a breakthrough, and just an exception, just accepting what we're both going through, mm-hmm. and verbalizing it. You know, it was genuine and just, wow.
Well, this is like, but again, then I was just like, do we get sick of the mourning, if you will? I think if that's all you did was focus on the morning and feel that that's the that's what your life has become, maybe. But I think it's just really just turn the morning into something better, something different. I mean, it's just like, and I think I talked to you just as far as like just the perspective. It's just always keeping that perspective and then like looking how far you've come with, I mean, you've had the disease for 25 plus years, but look at how far you've come.
And you've had the disease for 23 years and look at how far you've come, but look at how far we still have to go.
And there's so much left. And to say that I've accomplished everything I'm ever going to accomplish with this disease, I mean, I can be all cocky and say I haven't even started, but I mean, on some levels, it's like, is that what you have to think or how you have to approach things? That it's just like, there's a lot more left to do, and maybe we don't even know what that is right now.
No, and that's that. That's what makes it exciting, that unknown, what we have to look forward to. And, you know, there's going to be another Walk MS event in a year.
Yep.
And we're already planning.
We've got big things.
Nora and I were talking about the fact that there was orange everywhere. Duh. It's an MS event. And I'm thinking, how am I going to set apart our team? Because I like to see our team. And it used to be, oh, we were the ones in orange or we were all in yellow. But now, how are we going to differentiate Team Monsters? So we'll see what happens in a year. But right now, I was just thrilled. It was so fun that we had such a big team. So many good people and raising awareness and raising money. So that was something that was really fun, and to have the family all together. Well, not all the family, but have a lot of family together. That was good.
And so with this, as we talk about this, I mean, it's just, these are all real things that everybody's living, who's living with MS is dealing with. And we will have some things in the liner notes for tips and for resources that you can reach out to help you through those moments. But that's really the reality. It's like, it's not all sunshine and roses, but it's you need the rain, right?
You need the rain, absolutely, to make the flowers
and the margaritas.
And the margaritas. Gosh, yes. Those were good.
But thank you all for taking the time to sit in with us today. Until next time, we are A Couple Takes on MS. I'm Dan Digman, and I'm walking.
I'm Jennifer Digman. I'm roping.
Together, we are moving forward.
Thank you again for joining us for this episode of A Couple Takes on MS. We would love to hear from you, so please share your thoughts on our podcast, or answer questions or ask questions you may have for either Dan or me, and we're open books. So please email us at acoupletakesonms@gmail.com. You can also follow us on Twitter at @CoupleTakesOnMS or through our website at acoupletakesonms.com. And remember to rate, review, and subscribe to our podcast. And until next time, we are A Couple Takes on MS. I am Jennifer Digman, and I'm rolling. And he is
Dan Digman, and I'm walking.
But together, we are so moving forward. So we'll talk to you next time. Take care.